How do you respond when you've been hurt? When a friend does not honor your invitation or reciprocate? What do you feel when you feel like you've been embarrassed? Or what do you do when you've been passed over or turned down? When you feel disrespected? Or when you feel like you've been mistreated? How do you respond? And how many times do you keep inviting that friend who doesn't respond? Or how many times do you keep trying? How many times do you overlook the feelings of being embarrassed or mistreated? How many times do you forgive? You keep opening up yourself to the same person in the same way. Do you accept it? Do you continue on as if nothing happened? Do you get angry? Do you pull away? Does your circle of friends get smaller? It's a hard question, or a set of questions. I, for one, get fed up sometimes. Do you? For my friends whose phone only seems to receive calls rather than send them, I get fed up. And sometimes just don't call them for a while. But being that their phones don't work on send, I end up calling them again. And the guys I play soccer with, for a year and a half, I've played pickup soccer. And this guy, Joe, keeps elbowing me in the back and kicking my shins in the same places and stepping on my toes. And so I tell him sometimes, Joe, knock it off. You're not good at soccer. I get fed up with Christians who tell me that to advocate for inclusion in the church is being carried along with the culture, as if being exclusionary is not the oldest and longest standing cultural trend in the history of the world. As if trying to control and contain people hasn't been going on since the beginnings of time. I could go on. What do you get fed up with? This parable this morning is about someone who gets fed up. A person who hosts this great dinner, spends all day roasting animals over the fire. Servants have been preparing for weeks. The house is ready. Invitations had gone out well in advance. And the invitations went out to this person's friends, his neighbors, business acquaintances, the prominent and influential in the community, I suppose. The type of people, we learn, who are able to host their own large banquets and fancy weddings. The type who have the means to buy more land and invest in more oxen. Not, as we learn, the poor, the crippled, the blind, or the lame. It is the logic this story turns on, that there are two rounds of invitations, two groups, that everybody else was invited, the non-poor, the non-crippled, the non-blind, and the non-lame. But there's also likely a cultural reality behind this. For in a culture of honor, of hospitality, of valuing the community over the individual, to host such a banquet means you are very careful in who you do not invite. You side on the side of inviting lest you dishonor someone, offend someone. For if you inadvertently shame someone, they may not invite you to their party or to their business deals and so on. And so the day comes where this host has invited probably the majority of the community. And all the preparations are coming into place. And the servant is now sent out to summon the guests. And this is when we begin to hear that those invited do not plan to attend. One has purchased land that he supposedly never checked out beforehand and is now just going to investigate it. An unlikely story. Another has bought oxen and he's excited to go try them out. And he obviously has no other time to do it than now. an unconvincing excuse. The third has gotten married and likely has had his own celebration and is snubbing this invitation. And so the host, who has spent days and resources preparing the house, and this house all decked out, risks being empty. And his person and his home being disdained, shamed, embarrassed, hurt, and as we hear, angry. So let me ask you again, what do you do when you've been offended or embarrassed or snubbed or hurt? Well, to back up for a moment, it's interesting that what sparks Jesus telling this parable is the comment by one of the people who is at a meal that Jesus is attending. For right before this is the passage we looked at a couple weeks ago, where Jesus suggests that they, rather than trying to get the honored seat at the table, you look at those who haven't been invited. And this person responds to Jesus with the comments, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone know what that means? I take this to be a rather pious yet meaningless statement. Kind of like, yes, isn't God great? Or, of course we love all people. Or, won't heaven be grand? Things that don't really say all that much. Blessed is anyone who will eat in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus goes on to tell a parable about people who choose not to attend the lavish banquet they are invited to. Surely anyone would want to be a part of such an event. Anyone would want to be inside the house of this host to honor their hospitality, to honor and build a relationship with his friend, and yet excuses come. I have bought land, I have oxen, I have my own celebrations. Apparently, not everyone wants to be a part of this. Not everyone wants to honor the host. Not everyone is so blessed to be a part of such things. For when Jesus says that you should invite the blind and the lame and the poor and the destitute to your banquets, he kind of gets a response of the nature of, well, isn't that a nice idea? When there's no real intention to ever do so. In the context of Jesus talking to people at a meal, we get the strong impression that these want the feeling of being good, the notion of being religious or pious, but they are not interested in the values Jesus espouses. They are not all that happy to be at Jesus' table in the kingdom when it comes down to it. And in this story about a host, the host gets angry and fed up with such a response. And contrary to maybe parables that talk about forgiveness over and over again, here the invitation does not go out anymore. He does not go door to door pleading with them. He does not even send the servant out a second or third time. Those who were invited are not going to be a part of it. They've made their choice. And I want to ask you again, how do you respond when you've been hurt or snubbed or offended or embarrassed? Do you pull away? Do you keep trying? Do you keep suffering in the same relationship? Do you hold a grudge? Do you try to get back at them? Do you confront? Or do you play passive-aggressive? Well, the turn of the story here is that the host sends out another round of invitations, sending the servants this time to everyone else who was not on the first guest list. Though it will take two rounds, if you notice in the parable. I suspect that this host, like all his friends, is so accustomed to passing over this type of person that he is not even sure who to invite or where to find them. And it takes a double effort. He obviously knows people such as the poor and destitute exist, and he's determined to find them and fill his house with them. So this host, who is hurt and angry, in this dramatic move, turns that anger into compassion, into grace and inclusion. Why do I call it grace? Because these are people who will never reciprocate. They do not have homes with which and extra animals to sacrifice for banquets. And so in his hurt, in that feeling of being passed over, he starts to become aware of those he has passed over up till now. In his moment of shame and dishonor, he becomes cognizant of those who are shamed and passed over on a regular basis. In his realization that he has not been invited to his friend's wedding celebration, he chooses to invite all those who have not been invited. It's an interesting impulse. On one hand, he is going to have his house honored one way or another. He is going to fill it one way or another, whoever it be. He's going to redeem his own honor. And yet, on the other hand, it becomes this very different kind of honor. One that all his friends, I'm sure, would snub their nose at. For his house is going to be filled, but it's going to be filled with every sort of riffraff, every passerby you do not normally lock eyes with, like those sitting with you at the light rail station, or those in the blue seats in Billy Collins' poem, or those who live in a part of town that you do not frequent. You see, the host has changed through the course of things, through his response to the course of things, and he will find his honor in gathering the lost and the lonely, the average, the poor, those unable to reciprocate. His house will be filled. But what a different kind of community it will be. And this banquet, with no need for exchanged pleasantries among the elites, will be a place for really learning about other people's stories and experiences. Blessed is anyone who eats in the kingdom of God. Yes, all of a sudden in this shift of the story, it becomes true. Blessed is anyone who receives this invitation, who responds in such a way as to both honor the host and to be honored by the host, who comes into the house, who takes his place at the banquet. Blessed is anyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God, and what a kingdom it will be, where the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame get the prime seats. Where the hungry will partake of the rich banquet, where those accustomed to the scraps will celebrate the rich harvest of the earth. If you've noticed, this summer the lectionary, that is our series of scripture readings, have featured a lot of bizarre passages from the prophets, like Jeremiah and Hosea. Passages which tend to be hard to grasp, but which have expressed this ongoing theme of the scriptures, and that is the heartbrokenness of God. The God who has worked so tirelessly to provide good and to set up his people for good relationship, and they continue to choose the lesser. The God who bestows favor and grace and land and possibility, and they in turn continually dishonor him, turn aside, make lesser choices, bring affliction and pain upon themselves. And while God laments and gets angry, even the trajectory of God's relationship with humanity is that God turns anger into compassion. Not to harsher judgment or more restricted lines of welcome and acceptance, but rather God's anger turns to greater and greater compassion, love, and grace. Now, our story is a parable. It's not meant to be a one-for-one comparison between the host of the parable and the God we serve and worship. But it does express that impulse of God's character, that choice to turn the feeling of hurt and betrayal and shame towards greater love, that it drives towards compassion. The emotions and experiences do not close God off, but open God up. And the question is if the same is true of us, or might it be true of us, that our own feelings of hurt, of being passed over or rejected, or our own experiences of not being listened to, that these might develop in us an openness to others. They might cultivate in us a radical compassion, a drive to fill the kingdom of God with faces, with the faces we would otherwise be prone to pass over, were the persons we would otherwise be prone to disregard or pull away from. As I was writing this sermon, I couldn't help but think that today, on the 15th anniversary of feeling attacked, of being attacked on September 11th, I wonder how the experience has affected us over the last decade and a half. How have we responded to that fear and that anger, that pain and that loss, that feeling of utter vulnerability and threat? Have we become smaller, more restricted, more untrusted, more prone to our own defense? Or has it driven us to compassion, to tolerance, to a willingness to celebrate the community of faces with whom we find ourselves? Blessed is anyone who eats in the kingdom of God. The question is this the kind of kingdom you want to be a part of? A kingdom of seemingly random faces whose common denominator is an openness to the invitation of grace. Is this the community you want to find yourself in? One prone to inviting the least rather than catering to the powerful. One prone to love rather than suspicion. Are you willing to share the meal with such people? To dip your hands into the same dish? To exchange blessings and greetings? To rub oil on their necks and have yours rubbed in return? If so, then welcome to the kingdom of heaven, and you are truly blessed. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me and let us sing our song of response, Gather Us In.